We're going to spend a couple of weeks looking at the Psalms, two Psalms of David, and you can't separate the Psalm from the psalmist, really. You can't separate the poet from his poetry. And when you've only got two Psalms of David to choose from, it's very, very difficult. And I hesitated to pick the one I picked for a couple of reasons. One, because it's so familiar, and yet at the same time, there are things about it that are very, very remote. Psalm 23 that Tartan read earlier is, like he said, probably the most famous words of the Old Testament. I went to Amazon.com and searched 23rd Psalm or Psalm 23, and there were over 15,000 products related to the 23rd Psalm. And get this, they were in 32 different departments. So just imagine a store with 32 departments and every single department has something about the 23rd Psalm in it, right? You're thinking auto parts? What in the world? Yeah, all those departments had something to do with the Lord is my shepherd. And so can you get any more familiar than that? And on the flip side, there is something very remote about the two main topics of this psalm. Anybody in here ever had a flock of sheep? I'm surprised. I thought I'd get at least one. I mean, come on. Really? No, nobody's had a flock of sheep. Okay. Well, that rules that out. I was going to ask that one person if that had a flock of sheep. Did you happen to be in the Near East 3,000 years ago when you had them, right? So I'm guessing it was probably a little different back then. Well, right. The question is, were you a shepherd 3,000 years ago? No.
Absolutely.
No. And the flip side, as the psalm ends, is... I can always depend on you. Thank you. Is that the shepherd needs a host. The shepherd needs protection sometimes. The psalm is kind of divided like that. And I don't know if you were ever out with your flock of sheep and the bad guys were trying to get you, and you had to run to another shepherd's tent to take refuge. That ever happened? No. See what I'm saying? So this is kind of strange to spend the morning talking about shepherds and sheep and all that. But here we are in something that's extremely familiar and something that's extremely unfamiliar. But yet the themes of contentment and rest and restoration and trust. I dare say that there is a greater temptation in the world today than the temptation to not be content. Everywhere you go, someone is telling you, you do not have enough of this or enough of that, or you need more of this and more of that, or your life would just be a little more complete if you just had this, that, or the other. And here is a psalm saying, no, right? And so I thought to myself, I wonder when David wrote this, because the picture I tend to get in my mind is that he's sitting out there with the sheep and he sees all these things happening to the sheep and he sees himself relating to the sheep and he thinks, well, gee, I wish I had one of these people like me. And he wrote the 23rd Psalm. And that could be true. My tendency is to think that as he got into his kingship and God kept reminding him, and then you see, we saw this time and again where God says, hey, remember, David, you were out there with your sheep and I brought you to where you are as shepherd of my people. And so you were there, I brought you here, and we saw being a king is not easy. And so I always just now can just kind of imagine David being reminded by God of where he had come from shepherd to shepherd king. And then him still asking the question, well, I've been a shepherd and I am a shepherd. Who's my shepherd? Right? I'm all my life I've been shepherding. Who shepherds me? And we're going to see a very, very valid question even for us today, even if you don't have fluffy, woolly things in the field beside your house. Let me go through some of these. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. That is the title, or if you will, or that is the theme of everything that comes after it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I have everything I need. I've got plenty. That's every Bible translation says it a different way, and I love that. It's I shall not want, and the word is actually I shall not lack. I have adequate amount of whatever it is I need. And there's even a forward look to it. It's I have not been in want, I am not in want, and I will not be in want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, and He was, and He is, and He will be. So the secret to being able to say, I have everything I need, is to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. And so what does a shepherd do? A few things. Verse 2, they kind of go hand in hand. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. So you just picture a nice green pasture full of food, and the sheep are lying down, and you don't graze while you're lying down. You lie down when you're through grazing and your belly is full, right? In modern day, it'd be He puts me on my couch, right? This is after Thanksgiving, and the sheep are just like bloated, and they're just as happy as can be, and they're just laying there like, man, life is good. Look where the shepherd brought us. He takes such good care of us. I will say this. One of my favorite fishing partners was John Sestak. And not only was John Sestak an amazing fisherman, he had all sorts of theories involved when fishing. And one of the things that John would do on the way to the lake is he would look for the cows. And if the cows were laying down, not eating, he would say, well, the fish aren't going to bite today, because if the cows ain't eating, the fish probably aren't either. That was kind of one of his theories, right? If the cows are full and content, the fish are probably just out there going, I don't feel like eating, I'm happy, right? So he would just always say, we're probably not going to catch anything today, the cows are laying down. So I don't know if that's a good theory or not, but the point is made that you lie down when you're full and happy and secure and you're just not worried about anything. He leads me to quiet waters. He doesn't let me drink. And David knew this, right? So David knew that a sheep will walk the same track day after day after day, because sheep are creatures of habit, and they will make it muddy and yucky, and they will just stop and drink out of any old nasty puddle, no matter how much green scum is on top of it and how sick it will make it. They don't know better. And he says, well, he's going to lead me to some quiet waters, not like a rushing river where it's going to go all up my snout or I'm going to fall in and drown. None of that. He leads me to quiet waters. So you just picture a sheep that is very well taken care of, very well provided for. He doesn't wake up every morning and go, man, I hope there's going to be grass and water today. Because he has a good shepherd. David, having done this with sheep, having been a good shepherd, looks up and says, the Lord's mine. And I don't wake up every morning wondering about grass and water. I don't wake up every morning worried. I shall not want. I won't lack. Then this little line here, he restores my soul. So the word restore here literally means to turn over, to turn back over. And sometimes if you're a sheep, those of you who saw the VeggieTales version of this, you'll completely understand how this works, because David's sheep kept falling over, right? And that's what sheep do. If a sheep gets on its back, all of its center of gravity is now above it, right? So you can just, especially if it's pregnant, right? It's just there. It's not getting up on its own power. It's like watching buzzards circle overhead, just going, well, I'm helpless. I can't get back over. My center of gravity is above me, and it's just going to sit there and yell until it dies or till someone turns it back over again. And that's what the shepherd does. He restores his sheep from a hopeless, helpless situation to being restored to new life, if you will, not being eaten by its enemies and being with the rest of the flock. So David does that with a sheep, and he says, I feel like that sometimes. I'm on my back. I've fallen. I can't get up. And he shows up and picks me back up again. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Again, it's about destination. It's about getting to the right place. It's about a good path. And the shepherd is the guide, because the sheep will not find it on their own. They won't vote on the best path and pick the right one. Very good chances is they're just going to pick one to follow, and he could just ride off a cliff maybe even. And he says, there's a right path. And it's not just a right path. In human speaking terms, it is a path of righteousness. It is a good path that is a God-like path, which is why it is for God's name's sake. God is dedicated to the honoring and the glory of His own name. Such that you don't look at sheep going down a good path to a good destination and you don't say, wow, what smart sheep those must be. You say, those sheep must have a really good shepherd. They always get to where they need to go. Right? And then things take a bit of a shift, not quite so much, but there is an important difference in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The valley of the shadow of death. And you may have a footnote, like the NIV does, says, through the darkest valley. That's all one word in Hebrew, and it doesn't necessarily have the word death in it. We often turn to this in times when of death, but it's really just about darkness. So you can imagine taking some sheep through a valley that's very steep and the sun's not coming in, and it's like, which way are we going? And, you know, the animals, the wolves or whatever could come in at any time and attack, and so the sheep are getting very skittish and wondering, is this good? And then the shepherd's just right there and he's armed, right? He's got a rod and a staff. He can direct them. He can guide them. He can keep them on the right road. And if anything comes, he can fight back. And so he's saying the tendency would be, if the sheep were all alone, the tendency would be that there would be nothing but fear, because it's dark and it's shadowy. The potential for death is there. And he says, but because the shepherd's there, they don't have to fear evil, because he's armed. He's got a rod and a staff, and that comforts them, because he will use the rod and the staff on their behalf. But did you notice the pronouns changed in verse 4? He makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me. Then verse 4, we get into a time of darkness and difficulty and fear, and he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff. So he's not just talking about the Lord his shepherd to someone else, he's talking directly to the Lord his shepherd. He's looking right at the Lord now and saying, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. It's not just he, it's you. Because when things get dark and things get difficult for the sheep, God starts getting really, really personal. Now, things take another interesting turn, and Bible scholars argue about verses 5 and 6 because they don't seem to fit the previous verses, and people try to keep making them fit into the whole perspective of a sheep. But I look at this and think that this is now taking on the perspective of the shepherd, because hospitality in David's day meant that if you came to someone who had more sheep and more means than you did, and they had all their tents set up, and you needed shelter, let's say an enemy was attacking you, which is what's happening right here, the way it worked was when you were in the shelter of someone else's tent, you were immune from attack, because all of their resources now became yours as well, and you would not be attacked under their roof. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you just kind of picture a shepherd with his sheep, and he needs a place of refuge, and he is brought in by a generous, gracious, welcoming, hospitable, protective host. The enemies are there, and the host says, hey, have a seat at the table. And he says, and my cup never gets empty. Every time I look up, there's more to drink. He anoints my head. He just makes me so welcome. I'm not fearing anything. My sheep are secure. I'm secure. All is good. And he says, it's summing it all up, it's like goodness, it's like love, or maybe your Bible says loving kindness. It's a little interesting Hebrew word. It's different in every Bible translation because we don't know what to do with it. It's this little word chesed, which is fun to say, and I don't ever say Hebrew words, but I like to say that one because chesed just feels good. It's this little word, and we don't know how to do it. Is it love? Is it kindness? Is it faithfulness? And then some of your Bible translation says, we don't know. Let's just jam two words together, loving kindness. We can't miss with that. We'll put it all in there and make sure we don't miss it. It's just this beautiful, wonderful, faithful, kind love of the shepherd. And look at what he's saying. That love, that kindness, that goodness, we sang about this. Your loving kindness never fails me. Christ before me, Christ behind me. That's what he's saying. I can't get away from it. Everywhere I go, I look, and there's goodness and mercy right behind me. There's loving kindness right there, and it's in front of me. This isn't geographic. It's pursuing me. I can't get away from the goodness and love of the shepherd. Every day, all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you remember David had been to the tabernacle. David had worshipped in the tabernacle. But do you remember he had conceived of and he had imagined what it would be like for the Lord to have a temple. And he wanted to build the Lord a temple where everybody could come and worship together. And God said, no, you're not going to do that. But I love just that he had that in mind. And I don't know what David thought of when he thought of forever, but he thought of a house of the Lord that he would always be in. If you flip over just to Psalm 27, it's just four psalms away. It's interesting that he ends this psalm this way, because in Psalm 27, he says, if I were putting together a list of things I want to ask of the Lord my shepherd, things that I'm looking for, this is what I would put at the top of my list. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. So the picture there is of just the security and the comfort and the presence of the Lord, our praise towards Him, His exalting of the humble. David knew well what that was all about, right? The safety. And I love the line, gazing upon the beauty. So it's maybe it's not as geographic as much as it is just being in the presence of the Lord forever. I caught that twice when we were singing today. In three different songs, we talked about forever. We talked about forever will be our King, and then two times forever praise and forever worship. And I'm just sitting there thinking as I sang, that is awesome. There will never be a time in the presence of the Lord when we will say, by the way, who's King today? Did anybody new get elected? Anybody take over? Nope, still Jesus. Okay. And who are we worshiping today? Worshiping anybody new today? Any praise for anybody else today? Nope. Still Jesus. Okay. Good. Right? Just forever a shepherd. Forever a king. Forever the worship. Now, let me just kind of follow this through, because we've done this a lot with David's life. It's like, what happened afterwards? And then there were these promises made. And then there was this better David, this son of David, this promised David, the ultimate David. After David's life and after a succession of kings and things started getting worse and worse and worse, one of the things the prophets said, you can find this especially in Ezekiel, but it's in other prophets too, Isaiah. What happened was, is the people who were supposed to be shepherds, the kings and the priests, they did just the opposite of being shepherds. And the people ended up being not taken care of. The people ended up being attacked by enemies. The people ended up being scattered all over. And that was God's complaint, was that my shepherds don't act like shepherds. They're the anti-shepherds. As a matter of fact, what God said was, he says, my leaders who are supposed to be acting like shepherds and taking care of the sheep of my people, they're taking everything and using it for their own comfort and convenience. And the sheep are just wandering around, wondering who's going to take care of us. They're the anti-shepherds. And he says, the wolves, the enemies, are going to come in, and the shepherds aren't going to be there to take care of you. And because everyone has turned from me, you're going to end up scattered among the nations. But then there's these promises, again back in Ezekiel and Isaiah, where he says, I will send my king David, and he will gather the people like a shepherd. So the promise was, a shepherd's coming. A shepherd's coming. And so then you have these little hints, nice little Christmas time hints, like when the Magi come to Herod. And Herod wants to hear what's this all about, and he calls these people in, the priests and the teachers of the law, and says, hey, where will the Christ be born? And they read from the prophet Micah, they say, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So there had been this promise all along that some point in Bethlehem, someone was going to be born. He was going to grow up to be a shepherd king in the line of David. And then we see this Jesus come along, and you have these moments where, in particular, Jesus is there and there's this huge crowd of people. And it says, Jesus was moved with compassion because he said the people were like a sheep without a shepherd. And there are all these different words. They were distressed. They were helpless. In some of the old translations, they use the word harried. We don't use that word any much anymore because it doesn't sound, but it's like, they're stressed out. They're helpless. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And when Jesus saw the crowds, what did he see? He saw a whole bunch of sheep and no one to shepherd them. And his heart moved. His compassion was stirred up for them. So Jesus comes along, and John chapter 10, Tartan pointed that out for us. So if you go back to Psalm 23 and you see a shepherd for sheep and you see a host who protects the shepherd and his sheep, we see Jesus playing both of those roles, where he says things like, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate to the sheep. If you want to get in, the sheep come through me. Anybody else is a thief and a robber. He says things like, my sheep listen to my voice. I call them by name and I lead them. This is like Jesus' own take on Psalm 23. He's taking Psalm 23 and applying it to himself. It says he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They don't follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away. They don't recognize a stranger's voice. I'm the gate of the sheep. All these different images related to the sheep. But when all is said and done, John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm not like a hired hand who sees a wolf and takes off running and abandons the sheep so that the wolf gets the flock and scatters it. No, I'm the good shepherd. I will jump in front of the wolf. I will give my life to fight the wolf. I will even die for the sake of my sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. So we have this shepherd, Psalm 23 shepherd, who says, hey, you can look at me and say, I shall not want. And you just kind of think about the temptations that come to you on a regular basis. Temptations to anxiety, temptations to worry, temptations to want more and more. And hasn't this always been the case? The case has always been that there's a fill in the blank. The blank is my shepherd. And the world is always telling us, stick something else in there. Because what did Satan say from the beginning in the garden? What was it? You know, he's kind of stingy. He's holding out on you. He's keeping you from something good. And that's always been the temptation, that if God were really generous, you would have more whatever it is than you have right now. And the temptation is never to contentment. The temptation is always to the opposite. So the temptation is always to stick something in there besides the Lord being your shepherd. The blank is my shepherd. And guess what? It never, ever, ever comes through. Because you always need to get more and more and more until you're destroyed by what you thought was your shepherd. And then just this incredible idea of Jesus as our host. I think one of the most amazing things Jesus said was, "Whoever comes to me, I will by no means turn them away." Right? That's hospitality. You knock on my door, I'm opening. You come to me, I don't turn you away. You're the sheep laying on your back, center of gravity all out of whack, can't get turned over. Hey, I'll turn you over and bring you in. And there's always this little something in us that kind of gets the idea that when we're on our back and we can't get over, Jesus comes over and he's like all sarcastic, right? And he's like, "Oh, I see one of my idiot sheep's on his back again," right? We kind of get the idea that he just gets frustrated and sick of us sheep always being stuck and him always having to rescue us. And I don't think that's the case. I think there's joy in his voice when he says, "Hey, come to me. Come to me. And hey, I'll give you rest. Whoever comes to me, I'm not turning people away. Just come to me. I'm a good host." And then he even goes so far as to say, again, this is where everything shifts. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Psalm 23 words. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it weren't so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. There it is. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd saying, I'm going to get ready a room. I've got a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms. And you can come, and in my Father's house, you'll have your very own room. You want to share a room with anybody. Not that that would be bad where he is, because I love the fact that, I guess, I don't know, there were always people on your dorm hall that were kind of sketchy, you know, and it's like, I'm not sure I like living across the hall from this guy. I told my stories to my kids about some of the guys that lived on my hall, even in Bible college, right? You're going, man, did they know he was going to act like this, right? Walking down the hall with nothing on but a guitar, that's kind of weird, right? So here he's saying, look, you're all going to come into a big house, you're all going to have your own place, and you can dwell with me forever. Why? Because where I am, that's where you're going to be. Goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life. And guess what? You're going to end up in a house with me. So Jesus is shepherd. Jesus is host. And you go all the way to the end of Revelation. He's still called David. He's still called the son of David. He's still called the king. You don't wake up in the morning and wonder who it's going to be. Right there he is. So why don't we pray together? Lord God, would you help us just to be silent with you, God, for just a moment? First, Lord, would you help us to just think about what it is that we put in the blank instead of you? Where do we turn when we get anxious? Where do we turn when we're worried about the future? Where do we turn when we're feeling like we just don't have an adequate supply of what we need? Where do we turn when it feels like we're flat on our back and we're looking at nothing but sky, wondering when the wolves are going to show up? When we're in the dark valley, who is our shepherd? Lord, that's whatever it is we put there, that's the idol that we put in the place of the true and living God. Lord, would you help us to repent of that, to confess that? Whatever it is you're showing, for some it took half a second. And Lord, if we could have the eyes of a shepherd and we could see people the way Jesus sees people, and we can have compassion because we're able to look around us in this world and see sheep who need a shepherd. God, would you give us eyes, shepherd eyes, eyes like Jesus has and a heart like Jesus has? Lord Jesus, would you give us that? Lord, many of us know people in our families and friends who are following a very bad path, who are headed for destruction if they don't meet the Good Shepherd. Lord, give us a burden to pray because you're so hospitable. Give us a boldness to speak of the shepherd who becomes a sheep, who becomes a lamb, who sacrifices everything so that he can be the shepherd again. Lord, I pray that we would be that kind of welcoming people, that we would be welcoming with the gospel of grace, the all-sufficient Jesus Christ, that we'd be a welcoming church, Lord. Just the gospel would make us that kind of people. And that our arms would be open wide. Thank you, Jesus. Give us contentment. Help us to fight the good fight of faith on that front, because everything in this world tells us not to be content. Lord, I pray that we would be able to look into the face of the enemy and say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I've got everything I need." In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.